The opinions expressed in Fandomology Reblog are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Hi, I'm Keisha.
And welcome back to another episode of
Fandomology Reblog.
On today's episode, we're talking about
witches
and wizards.
Today's episode is Harry Potter. So, dear listeners, I'm pleased to inform you that you have been accepted to Fandomology Reblog's online school of observations and opinions.
All right, so as a quick caveat before we start this episode, let's just say TERFs.
Yes!
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Big thumbs down from us. We do TERFs. Not support J.K. Rowling in any capacity.
No.
And actually, Rupert Grint, Daniel Radcliffe, and Emma Watson actually wrote and then acted in the Harry Potter movies at 11.
Exactly.
They're incredibly talented.
They did everything.
Yeah, she was just a weird lady who showed up. So anyways, so now with that out of the way, I don't know about you, but for me, Harry Potter was like my first introduction into fandom. I was six and my dad read me all seven books out loud. And that's kind of what started me getting into fandom and nerdy culture because, I mean, that's just what got me into it, right?
I would say same here. Definitely when it comes to fandoms and Tumblr, What got me into it is definitely Harry Potter. I grew up with three aunts, one of them being an avid reader and the other two being like movie fanatics.
Mm-hmm.
So I first watched the movies,
okay,
the ones that were out, of course.
Yeah.
And then, because I think the last two didn't release until like 2011 or something.
I think so, 2011, 2012, I think, is when Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2 came out.
Yes. So we watched the ones that were out and in our comfort of our own home.
Mm-hmm.
And my aunt who liked to read, she had the books, so she lent them to me and I was reading them. And I was like, I want to be them so bad.
So real.
Like, when it comes to a show that I really like, I would watch it as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
To a point that I memorize the lines. It's kind of a problem. You cannot watch The Philosopher's Stone with me unless I am babbling every single line.
It's okay. We should watch it together.
We should watch
because
it together.
I will also be quoting all the lines.
Yes. From like beginning to end.
I like, know all just those lines. Like, who even needs pirating? I can just perform the entire movie by myself in my head.
Literally. Like, honestly, I feel like we can create the entire train scene when they first meet.
Oh
like,
my God.
I'm Ron, by the way. Ron Weasley. I'm Harry.
Harry Potter.
Like the way he said
you're Harry Potter.
And then it's like,
and then he just like flexes his wealth and buys all the candy from the trolley.
Anything from the trolley, dears.
We'll take the lot.
It's like, I feel, to be honest, if I was Harry, I'd also feel bad for Ron with like his little
like
sad sandwich.
But it's also like, Harry has never been rich. He's been poor his whole life. No,
that is true.
You gave an 11-year-old an insane amount of money and did you not expect him to spend all of it on
candy immediately? Like,
he's like, I had the chance to make a friend for the first time in my life. I absolutely will buy all of the candy from this cart. I do not care about anyone else who comes after me and is like, sorry, you don't have any chocolate frogs left because those kids in the cart bought everything.
I'd like to think that because he grew up with nothing and not knowing much about money, and then he figured out he was rich, he low-key spoils his friends. Like,
he absolutely does. I mean, remember
like,
when he won in Goblet of Fire, when he won the Triwizard Tournament, he gave all the winnings
to
Fred and George so they could start their joke shop.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it was just the fact more that the Weasleys were very like proud and didn't want to take it. I think there's a couple mentions of that in the books.
In the
where
books.
Like they're just like
definitely not in the movies.
Yeah. Where there are like mentions of like Harry of them being like, no, like we don't want your money, blah, blah, blah. But like I think Harry definitely would be like
his love language is definitely gift giving.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think it's really funny. And then Hermione entering of like, are you going to do a spell?
Yes.
Like, Let's see then.
Have either of you seen a toad?
A
boy named Neville's lost one.
And it's like, she's
just
so
pompous.
Snooty.
She is so snooty immediately. And then cut to later on, and she's like, let's just break into this building.
She's like, and this is in the movies, not in the books, because in the books, Ginny says this, but when she's like, her name is Looney, I mean, Luna Lovegood, where she's like, guys, this is Looney.
Yes, Looney Luna. Girl. It's like, okay, diva.
Okay, diva.
But speaking of Ginny, the mischaracterization of Ginny in the movies is something that has really stuck with me. Yeah. So I read the books first. I wasn't allowed to watch any of the movies until I'd read that book, except for the last three, obviously, because they weren't out yet at that point. So I saw the last three movies. So I saw Half-Blood Prince and Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2 in theaters.
Yeah.
But I always felt like Ginny was so mischaracterized in the movies. Like, in the books, yeah, she has this, like, childish, like, hero worship crush on Harry. But after the events of Chamber of Secrets, she kind of gets over it. And then by the time, you know, they get to be older and older teenagers, like, she's dating Dean Thomas. Like, she will, like, joke around with Harry and treats him like, oh, it's just my brother's best friend. Mm-hmm. And then it's Harry who all of a sudden looks at her one day and is like, oh, my God. And, like, he literally talks about having, like, the green-eyed, like, monster because he's so jealous.
He's so jealous.
But we talk about, like, do the movies even mention Ginny and her bat bogey hex?
No, they don't.
So in the books, if y'all don't know, listening at home, Ginny was known for being a very powerful witch. And especially when it came to the bat bogey hex, you did not want to be on the receiving end of that. It was miserable. No. She was totally badass.
She was super badass in the books.
Like, in Deathly Hallows, she is, like, actively helping lead the resistance at Hogwarts while Harry, Ron, and Hermione are off looking for the Horcruxes.
Yes.
She's, like, actively, like, and she's, at this point, keep in mind, she's a sixth year, so she's 16 years old.
Not to mention, she's really good at Quidditch.
Oh, incredible Quidditch, but she goes into play for the Holyhead Harpies.
Yes.
That's my diva.
That's my diva.
But, like, I feel like all of that is so brushed over in the movies. Like, there's, like, a couple scenes, like, when Harry first becomes captain and he's trying to get everyone's attention, and then Ginny steps up and, like, yells. It's like, hey.
Yeah.
And then everyone, like, listens.
And, like, that's only one thing. And I feel like we needed more of those things where Ginny has, like, a strong presence as, like, a strong witch. Like, and not to mention, she spams Bombarda in the movies so much. And it's like, honey, you're talented. You should be knowing more than one spell in this movie.
Harry knowing Expelliarmus.
Expelliarmus, like, against Avada Kedavra.
That man, he knows one spell and he's stuck with it. And honestly, it worked out for him.
And it won. Like,
it worked out well for him.
Like, if I'm going to be honest, if I was Harry, I would...
I would have gotten a gun. Sorry.
Muggle technology.
I'm just saying, Avada Kedavra, okay, AK-47.
Literally. 9mm.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. Or just, like, I don't know, just, I feel like Muggle technology, like, hit him with the car. Had a flying Ford Angela. Hit him with the car.
Exactly. Well, they couldn't even kill spiders with that car.
They killed a couple spiders with that car.
No, but they're, like, the baby ones.
Kind of, but then that car survived. The Fort Angela survived in the forest.
And the Whomping Willow.
And the Whomping Willow. And then it just, like, ran off into the forest and survived there for, like, I'm pretty sure, like, I think the Fort Angela is still at the Forbidden Forest.
Really?
Well, no, because it comes back later.
Yes, it does.
So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. The Fort Angela is just still chilling in there. I really wanted a Fort Angela because of that. And then I realized that they, like, don't even make them anymore, I don't think. And I was like, well, never mind.
Just about Ginny. Like, it's just Ford, Anglia little, like, car.
Is it Anglia or Angela?
I pronounce it Anglia. I pronounce it a Ford Anglia. But
if I'm saying it wrong, we can all blame my father who read me the books out loud and pronounced it a Ford Angela. But anyways.
But yeah.
So I just feel like even in the movies, I feel like we lost a lot of strong female characters. Even in Hermione.
Yes.
Like, I feel like we lost, like, Hermione... For all that she was, you know, studious and followed the rules, she also was not afraid to throw down when it came to it.
She,
like,
wasn't.
If there was a mystery to be solved, like, Hermione was fully ready. She brewed Polyjuice Potion as a second year, which is, like, a sixth year potion.
Insane.
She brewed that potion and was like, yeah, we'll just knock these people out and then hide their bodies and then we'll go, like, hide and, like, we'll go, like, infiltrate the Slytherin common rooms. Like, this woman was unhinged.
Yeah, and
she was an insane 12-year-old.
Keep in mind, this is in the in the first movie, you already see her kind of being, like, mischievous and stuff, where they were like, we looked everywhere, and then Hermione's like, not in the restricted section, and then she's like, I think you've got a bad influence on
her.
You
exactly.
know, like it's like that kind of
like,
thing.
She is a character that stands so strongly on her own in the mm-hmm. books. And I think in the movies there are parts of it, but I also feel like all of her good attributes in the movies are stolen from Ron. And then yeah. Ron just kind of sucks in the movies.
No, what really pissed me off is in the movies, like I will say like both of them actually share the attribute of being shadowed as like Harry's supporting friends.
Yeah.
Even though in the books they were seen as their own individuals.
The Golden Trio.
And I mean, you kind of see that in the movies
you
too.
You do. And like, but... and even in the books, like Ron does talk about some of like feeling like in like Goblet of Fire, he mm-hmm. talks about it where he like when Harry's name gets pulled, he's like, you've seen more glory. And that blinds him where he's just like, you needed more glory. And then also in Deathly Hallows when he's wearing the Horcrux and the locket, it pulls from your insecurities. Yeah. And so it took any rational thought that Ron had and it warped it into, it took his worst insecurities that were like very deep down. So, I mean, we do see parts of that. We don't see it as much with Hermione.
No, we don't.
Hermione doesn't.
She was just kind of like.
Hermione knew that she was very helpful to Harry. And I think an issue that Ron had also was that, well, Hermione was the only girl, first of all, so she stood out in that way. But I think also for Ron, it was the fact that, like, he's Harry Potter, you know?
Yeah.
He killed Voldemort, and Hermione is the brightest witch of her age. And what was Ron?
Oh, sorry. I really love that line with Sirius. I was like, you really
are the brightest witch of your age. And the answer of who Ron is, Weasley is our king.
Weasley, I honestly, like, that's another thing. Weasleys, they may not be well off in terms of money, but they are super well off in terms of family.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they are, you can't see me doing it right now, but they are tight.
They are tight. Speaking of the Weasley family, sometimes Molly got on my nerves, especially with Fleur.
Oh, my God.
So, like, so when Bill gets attacked by Fenrir, but it wasn't on a full moon, so he's just scratched, and they're like, they don't know what's going to happen, but he was disfigured, and, like...
Yes, and he was you don't want to marry my son now.
No, because Molly would be like, shame about the wedding. We're going to have to call off the wedding, and then Fleur is like, excuse me? What do you mean call off the wedding? She's like, well, I assumed you didn't want to marry him, and she's like, yeah. I am pretty enough for both of us.
Exactly.
And I was like, that's my diva. And she was like, I will cook him extra rare steak for the rest of our lives. And trust me, I am beautiful enough for both of us.
And that's the thing. Like, Molly was very shallow when Fleur was.
So was Ginny. Like,
yeah.
And I like that it showed them as flawed characters. Because, I mean, like, I think it also is because with Fleur being part Vila.
Yes.
But I think.
Molly.
I think Molly especially as being, like.
Protective.
Protective, absolutely. But also, I think. Being, you know, it wasn't the kind of girl that perhaps she had imagined for her son.
Yeah.
And you know, Molly, I love you dearly, but she's a bit of a boy mom. I mean, she has six boys.
Like.
And so, and I think, and she's very, and seven mom? If you count Harry, because that's her baby too.
I'm sorry, but low-key, like, sometimes she treated Harry more like her son than any of her other sons.
I think also part of it was that she realized that, like, her boys had grown up in a loving household.
And Harry hadn't.
And so she's trying to make up for that. Where she's like, you were orphaned. Made him a sweater. This, like, poor boy. She's just no clue who this guy is. And she's like, I will make you one of our family sweaters.
I know. That was like, I wish.
Remember when she doesn't make one for Hermione one year because she thinks that Hermione's dating Harry and there's that whole thing. And
yeah.
She's like, I was like, hey, Molly. No. Stop being a boy mom.
I know. Stop being a boy mom. Go make one for Hermione.
Go make one. Please. Make another one with an H for Hermione.
Exactly.
Just make two for Harry and send one for Hermione. It's not even that hard. Like,
it would be, oh my God. I would like to imagine this, that if they made one every year and Harry from previous years gave his to Hermione.
Uh-huh.
Because it has an H too. I think that'd be really cute.
That would
Someone
be really
write
cute.
That up.
Write that
Someone
down.
Write that down.
Write that down. Write that down.
Someone please make a fan fiction about it. But platonically.
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 Yes. So Harry Potter, speaking of like canonically and all that stuff, Harry Potter is one of the few medias that I've consumed where I have like my main ships are all the canon ships.
Same here.
There
were a few where.
Mortal Instruments also is one mm-hmm. that I am pretty on board with, like the canon ships.
Yeah.
But in general, like it's kind of. Like, I don't know, like, Harry and Ginny all day, every day. Hermione and Ron, love.
In the books. Because, you know, Harry and Ginny in
They have no chemistry in the movies.
No chemistry.
And I feel bad for Bonnie, right? She was just given a bad script.
I know. She could have done so much better.
I know.
I know she was able to have that.
If she had been given.
Yes.
But no, so I think it's kind of, I don't know, I found that kind of interesting that it's like the one of the only medias. And it's also possible that I feel like that because I was read the books when I was so young and I wasn't really into more like
shipping and all the type of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, because I was six. I'm 6 years old.
Yeah.
So when I was reading the books, I just assumed Harry would get with Hermione because, oh,
I also thought
it's a boy and a girl. And then we got to them, like, oh, he's with Ginny. And I was like, actually, that rules.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, maybe if I had read the books when I was older and more into fandom culture, maybe that would have changed. But, like, for me, like, a lot of the really popular ships in Harry Potter, excluding the Marauders, are Hermione and Drury. And I have never gotten that. And to this day, when people, like, ship
Hermione.
Okay,
kills me. You can talk about
that. I'm not here to yuck anyone's yum, but... Oh.
But,
however, comma.
I will say, when I was younger, I will say Harry and Hermione, in my opinion, works in the movies.
Yes.
But not in the books.
Not
and
in
then
the books.
Vice versa.
It's way, they're way too, like, sibling.
Yes. And, like, in the books, they're very, like, sibling, really cute. But then there's so much chemistry between the two in the movies that I would say
yes.
you can kind of see. And I'm there, like... Honestly, like, that makes sense. But Hermione was something I never understood.
No.
And I am a sucker for enemies to lovers.
I love enemies to lovers.
But this is just
it's
crazy.
Too much.
Crazy. Too much.
That's too far. Like, it's more than enemies. That's a hate crime.
That's a hate crime
to lovers.
That's a guy calling you slurs.
Yeah, and then being like, absolutely, I'm going to date you now.
Yeah.
And I understand that, like, Draco comes from a very abusive household and that this is all that he knows.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, come on, man. At a certain point.
At a certain point. Like, it's something. And
and he also, like, he targeted Hermione. I mean, obviously, we don't see the books from other people's characters and stuff. But we don't really see him target other Muggleborns in the same way that he targets Hermione. Mostly because, one, she's a Gryffindor. Two, she's best friends with Harry and he hates Harry.
Yeah. Like, even in the second one where it's, like, when talking about how, like, every... time the Chamber of Secrets opens, a Muggleborn dies,
mm-hmm.
and then he's like, I hope it's Granger.
Yeah, like that, exactly. You know, like, it's... I get that he's young at that point, and we do see a slight redemption.
We see him getting better.
A little bit. So in the book, so in the movies originally, there's supposed to be a scene where Draco gives Harry his wand while he's fighting. Girl, you gotta stop hitting your mic.
Sorry. Repeat that.
So in the movies, there was a scene that they ended up cutting where it was Draco giving Harry his wand. He drops his wand and Harry gives it to, and he gives it to Harry.
I saw that clip
but
I was
ended
really
up,
sad.
But they ended up cutting it from the films.
Yeah.
But I mean, we see a little bit like...
I wish they didn't. I think it was just because maybe the way it was shot, they didn't like how it... like the
Yeah, or the storyline
like.
Felt weird.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they had just... When they saved them from the
dungeon,
what's the fire? No, not the room of requirement. What fire was that? What fire spell was that? That they used in the room of requirement, and they had to save them on brooms during the battle.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I need to look this up real quick.
The one where it was like
with Crab, and then I think Goyle. Crab,
like, that's my girlfriend. Blah blah blah. Like it was that. Scene too. Let me think of it.
Let me see.
I don't remember.
Room.
But while you're searching that up. While you're switching that up, I definitely think that maybe visually wise, that clip...
Fiendfire.
Yes. There you go.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. Like, visually wise, it may not have looked nice for the movie, but story wise, I think it would have really helped to show Draco's character development. Because you can see that he's not completely a terrible person and that he doesn't agree with being a Death Eater. That he was born into it.
He was born into one of the most influential, like, pure blood and Death Eater families.
Exactly.
I mean, like, Bellatrix was Voldemort's, like, right-hand woman.
And Narcissa was betrothed to the family. It was a forced marriage.
It was, because they were obviously related, because all pure bloods are related. But the, like, especially with the Blacks and the Malfoys and, like, the Gaunts, it's very close relations.
And you can tell that Narcissa is only doing this for the sake of her son.
Yes, because we do see that she is the one who she lies and says that Harry is
dead. Yeah, she's like, dead. Like, that is...
That's a very powerful scene.
Very powerful.
Because she asks what's happened to Draco, and Harry says he's safe. And then she's like, okay. I mean, because she didn't care about...
Draco safe.
She didn't care about Harry.
No.
Not at all.
It's the fact that...
But she cared about Draco, and she
exactly.
trusted in that moment that Harry wasn't going to lie to her.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's
so
like
it was
the love of a mother.
Yeah, the love of a mother. But it was the fiend fire, and that is what ends up killing Crab. Mm-hmm. He also has how Crab ends up dying, but...
Sorry, I didn't really care about him dying.
But I don't gaff out any of them. Sorry. I mean, we don't really get to know them very well in the books or the movies, and what we do get to know about them, they suck. So, and I think they were also, like, they were very blind followers of both Death Eaters, their parents, and also Draco.
I wish we did see more of Blaze and Pansy, though.
Yes, or even, or, like, Nox?
Yes, even him, too.
I would have liked more...
A little bit more Slytherin moments.
Yeah, or even some of the other houses, too. Even, like, Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw. It's just... I guess sometimes I just kind of struggle... Not struggle with, but I just don't understand sometimes people's love of Snape. But I would love to, maybe...
For me, it's, like, just, like, the misunderstanding. And I just wish that he doesn't... I just want people to know that he's not that terrible of a guy. But at the same time, he is.
He was an incel who bullied children.
He had his moments.
No, he had one moment at the end. He had a single moment at the end, and then he died.
Turn to page 394.
He also, oh yeah, speaking of that, he was actively trying to get the students to figure out that Lupin was a werewolf.
And it's like, hello, this is not your business.
He jumped way ahead in the curriculum to talk about werewolves one time that he had to be subbing in for Defense of Dark Arts. And I'm like...
Professor, I thought he's still on the puff skis or whatever.
Yeah, I'm like, y'all, you suck. I'm sorry. And then for Harry to name his kid, ugh, that's a whole other thing. Are you telling me he didn't name one of his kids after Hagrid or Lupin?
And Hagrid has been with you since the very beginning.
Hagrid deserved better.
And you couldn't have named them like Rubius or something?
Or like the daughter Ruby?
Oh, that would be so cute. That's a good one.
Lily Luna is super cute, but like... A ruby in there?
A ruby would have been really cute.
But no, but you know, he did get one, Snape, a man who bullied him and his friends, to the point where it was, like, Snape was Neville's worst fear. Dumbledore, Ron Weasley! Anyways, sorry. But like...
You can restart your whole thing.
But to mention the fact that, like, Snape was Neville's worst fear... Neville's parents were tortured into insanity by Bellatrix Lestrange, and Snape was his worst fear. His great uncle threw him into water and almost drowned him to try and get him to show magical powers at a young age. And his worst fear was Snape. And that just says something.
This poor guy, like, honestly.
That was the first red flag for J.K. Rowling, I think, that he tried to redeem Snape.
He was also, I can't believe, like, Neville went through all that, and he was this close to being the chosen one, and then ultimately he wasn't, just because Harry was born a day after him.
Yep.
Like, that's crazy. But
I think that might be all the time we have for today.
I think I might have to close this chapter.
I think it's time to close this chapter, indeed.
Oh my gosh.
Until next time, witches and wizards, this has been Fandomology Reblogged.